Now notice, he says in verse 21, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now you have here not only the faithful God, the true God, and the sure Lord Jesus, but you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I believe very candidly that you have here in this statement at verse 21 and 22, you have here the total ministry of the Holy Spirit today. Now he says here, now he which establisheth us. Now how do you become established, if you please? Paul, you know, had written to these Corinthians and they'd been so fickle, and now he's able to conclude that, and he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor's not in vain in the Lord. What does it mean to be established? We believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts. He comes into the world. The Lord Jesus said he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he convicts us. And the second thing that he does, if having been convicted, we confess our sin and accept Christ as our Savior, he regenerates us, you see. And he not only regenerates us, he indwells us. And not only does he indwell us, but he baptizes us. And by the way, this expression here is quite interesting. In verse 21, now he which establisheth us with you into Christ and hath anointed us is God. God who? God the Holy Spirit, if you please. And we sing sometimes safe in the arms of Jesus, especially at a funeral. Well, the word here is not safe in the arms of Jesus. Well, you're part of his body. You're put into Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're not safe in the arms, you're safe as an arm of Jesus Christ, because the chances are you may be a little finger in the body of Christ. Now, what a wonderful thing this is, and he is speaking here now of the work of the Holy Spirit, and he's using present tense. That's what he's doing for you today, friend. Convicts you. And he regenerates you, and he indwells you, and he baptizes you. Now will you notice, he says here, he hath anointed us as God. Now this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit which is sadly neglected today. And you will find over in 1 John, it's 1 John 2:20, and if you would turn there, and I hope you will, and read that, you will find that we have an anointing, and that anointing is the Holy Spirit, and it takes the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, you see. We've now transferred from the realm of reason to reality, from the hypothetical to the experimental, from fiction to fact. We rise from the theoretical death to actual living. Now, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Now you have here, and I am going to turn and read that after all. In 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction, that is an anointing, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. How? By the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, the same chapter, but the anointing which ye received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now this is a ministry that we believe is all important, though it is neglected. And he doesn't give you a mail order degree. And this is not knowledge that comes gift wrapped in a box. I think a lot of people think that. You have the Holy Spirit to teach you, Christian friend. And he alone can open the Word of God to you. That's the reason this is a miracle book. And all Christians must depend on the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus said to his own, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot receive them not. But when the Spirit of God has come, he's going to lead you into all truth. Now that's what he wants to do, is to lead you and me into all truth. Now we have here something else that's mentioned, who hath also sealed us. That is a marvelous ministry of the Spirit. We're told, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Can you grieve him away? No, because he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit's going to deliver you someday. He sealed you, friend. And that's just the same as taking a letter down to the post office. And I've already apologized to the people at the post office, and I sure hope they're going to deliver our mail now and then get our mail to us, by the way. But if you want to make sure, you register that letter, and they put a seal on it, and they guarantee they're going to get the letter through when you do that. All legal documents had that. In witness thereof, I set my seal, is the way it comes down to us from the Old English. And it's a marking, a branding, a mark of ownership. And out yonder in the early days in the West, they had no fences. They branded their cattle. The Holy Spirit puts the brand on you that you belong to God. And my friend, as a little sheep of his, you're not going to get lost. Oh, you might, but he'll come find you. The Spirit of God is the one, like that woman sweeping the floor, making sure that that wedding ring is going to be found. What a wonderful thing. And then, not only that, but you're given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Actually, it's this. You're given the earnest, which is the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now, an earnest money is money that, you know, you put up, and that means more is to follow. You go and say you want to buy a piece of property, you put up so much. And when you do, that's earnest money, and it means you're going to pay some more. Now, God's given us the Holy Spirit, and he says there's more to follow. What a wonderful thing. It's almost like buying on an installment plan, but it's not a down payment, because there may be some defection in the buyer, but there's no defection in this buyer. He purchased us with his blood. Maybe some defection in us. So he puts so much down. And when you put so much down, well, that guarantees that the saved soul will be delivered, and it means the saved soul's in escrow today. Now, God has put his Holy Spirit in every believer. He's the earnest. And he's coming to the life of the believer to bring the fullness of God to bear in our experiences. What is it you need today? You know, he's rich in mercy. He's the Father of mercies. What do you need, friends? Won't you go and ask him? You need power? Do you need joy? Do you need wisdom? Do you need help? These are the comforts, because he comforts us. Paul knew it. He'd experienced it. And you're listening to a fellow today that knows it also, because he's experienced it. Now will you listen to him? Verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Now, Paul said, if I had come when I said I would come, I would have done what I did in the first epistle. My, that first epistle is filled with correction. And Paul is stern in that epistle, as we'll see in this next chapter. And he says, if I'd come, I'd have been stern with you. But I didn't come, because I wanted to spare you that. I wanted to see if you wouldn't work this out. Verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith. Paul said, I'm not the bishop of your soul. I'm not the one lording it over you. You have freedom in Christ. But we are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand, he says. You'll have to stand in your own faith, my friend. And Paul says that we wanted to stay away that you might be strengthened in your faith and you might grow. And that's one of the reasons, friends, God permits many of us to undergo certain hardships, certain difficulties in our own lives.